It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State lawmakers have spent this morning on the chamber floor debating and voting on deals that they had hammered out overnight behind closed doors. Republicans are bringing together a sweeping package of lame duck proposals that's designed to empower the Republican-controlled legislature and then weaken the incoming governor, Democrat Tony Evers. Sean Johnson is here with us, has been all through the night watching the debates go on. He's our State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio, joining us from the State Capitol building here in Madison. Sean, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
So the extraordinary session was supposed to end yesterday. It did not end. Where are we in the process?
It's just a matter of your perspective on when yesterday was. It's all the same day here. I mean, they came in yesterday morning, the Senate and the Assembly. They kind of met sporadically. And now they are on the floor in the State Assembly. But much of the night, you had Assembly Republicans, Senate Republicans meeting privately to try to work out a deal that could get the votes in that chamber, and they did that.
So where do we see some action happening right now? Where is the focus?
So the Senate has gone home, and they've passed everything they're going to pass, and that included the big bill that we've heard a lot about that would restrict Governor-elect Tony Evers and Attorney General-elect Josh Call. That would restrict early voting in Wisconsin by about a week from compared to what people can do now. So, for example, this would block Governor-elect Evers and Attorney General-elect Call from dropping the Affordable Care Act lawsuit. That's something they campaigned on. Under this plan, they would need the legislature's budget committee to okay that move. It would give the legislature more power to hire private attorneys, kind of sidestep the Department of Justice. It would put the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation more under the control of the legislature, give them more appointees on that board, and let that board choose the WEDIC CEO. And the Senate also did quite a few other things. They have confirmed more than 80 of Governor Walker's appointees.
80.
And passed changes to restrict Governor-elect Evers from undoing Governor Walker's waivers on federal waivers that were respected on things like a work requirement for food stamp recipients, Badger Care recipients. So a busy night for the Senate. The Assembly is expected to follow suit here pretty soon.
So the Senate has gone home, as you said. Now hopping over to the Assembly, what's in front of the members, and what is the big package of bills that limit the incoming power of the governor?
So essentially everything that I just described there is now in the Assembly's lap.
Mm-hmm,
and the Assembly's kind of been in a holding pattern, waiting for the Senate and Senate Republicans to get the votes. They got them barely in the Senate. It passed 17-16. You had one Republican, Senator Robert Coles, joining Democrats, to vote against the largest changes there when it comes to restricting executive powers. The other changes passed on 18-15 party line votes. So it's in the Assembly's, court right now, and you've got speeches happening as we're talking right now from Assembly leadership there, including Speaker Voss, and that is usually the last step before a final vote. So I think you could expect it to pass the Assembly pretty soon.
Well, Tom called in from Illinois, and he wanted to know, where did this legislation to limit the attorney general and the governor's powers come from? Tom says it seems like it just came out of nowhere, and wants to know if you saw this coming at all.
So the bills themselves actually were introduced on Friday afternoon at about 4:30. They had their first public hearing on Monday, and then they're taken up by the Assembly and Senate on Tuesday, rolling into Wednesday. The Republicans did hint that they might have an extraordinary session after the election. And I guess when they made that suggestion, it raised the prospect that they could take up things that, had not been on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss hinted at it, but didn't give any specifics. The session was ostensibly going to be about passing a bill to give tax credits to Kimberly-Clark Consumer Products Company. That did not pass
that seems
the state
like,
Senate.
Yeah, eons ago, right? We're talking with Sean Johnson right now. He's been at the Capitol all night watching this lame duck session. We're getting you the information. Your thoughts and questions as well, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this update on the proceedings here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Our eyes are on the lame duck session, the bills that are passing the Senate and Assembly this morning. We'll continue that in just a moment. But first, it is our winter membership drive. This is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Our largest source of funding is listener support, and that means that in this season of giving, your gift is so vital. Take a few minutes right now to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we've got a goal before 9 o'clock, and we are 24 pledges away from that goal right now. So we've got about 40 minutes to get there, which means there is plenty of time for you, but why not start now? And don't forget, I would be remiss if I didn't thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs that you enjoy,
including this one. And here on this program, you'll hear policymakers, you'll hear politicos, you'll hear analysts answer questions on a really wide variety of state, national, and international topics.
And you will hear from Sean Johnson, our Capitol Bureau Chief. You'll hear from our Capitol reporter, Laurel White. Normally, they come to you on Mondays during the State Capitol Report. We are watching this lame duck session where they've been working through the night covering legislative sessions and this extraordinary session. So they're looking at state elections and the budget issues and the Supreme Court and so much more. And then fast forward to Fridays, we have so much fun exploring all of our state has to offer with Wisconsin Weekend.
That's right. We cover a lot of ground here in Wisconsin, and we do it every single day and every single weekend. You've got an important role to play in that as a listener, as a caller, and as a supporter. We're asking you to support this valuable source of information and access to great guests on WPR with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You listen to WPR year-round. Now donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. Make the donation once, and you'll make ongoing contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
That's right. Sustaining membership is a great way to go, and your sustaining membership will always be current. Plus, it cuts down on paperwork as a bonus. So don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and we're asking for your support during this year-end membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
As 2018 comes to a close, it's a great time of the year to think about the things that are important to you. And because we know that WPR is important to you, we're asking you to make a gift to support the station you count on. I guarantee you'll feel great when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have these hourly goals. We go hour by hour and set these goals, and they are very specific goals so that we can stay on track. And we want to continue to stay on track here. Let's get us up and over the top, this hourly goal with 25 pledges. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
That's right. And if you are a sustaining member who is making ongoing monthly gifts already, a big thank you. But don't forget, there's always a little more that you might be able to do. So make today the day that you think about increasing your support of WPR by $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can do that online. WPR.org is the website you can do that at, or feel free to give us a call at 888-202-2552.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. State Democratic lawmakers called the lame duck session illegitimate. Lawmakers pushed ahead overnight through public protests yesterday, internal gridlock. The Senate has now left the Capitol. They're done with their work. Assembly work still going. There has been, though, opposition from Democrats, the Senate and Assembly, sending dozens of changes into state law to Governor Walker's desk today. We're getting minute-by-minute updates with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson. Sean, where we left off, we had mentioned Kimberly Clark was the impetus, the Kimberly Clark incentives, to going back into session, was it not?
It is what they talked about as the reason they wanted to come back after the election, because that's an unusual step. And we heard last week, Senator Fitzgerald said he only had 10 or 11 Republican votes for that bill. It was going to take Democratic votes. They just didn't bring it to the floor for a vote. So among all the things that were discussed today, that was not one of them. And I should tell you, just moments ago, the state assembly did pass the last of those extraordinary session bills that passed the Senate earlier this morning. And so those are now headed to Governor Scott Walker to decide whether or not he wants to sign or veto them. He has left the door pretty open to signing them. Hasn't really given any indication one way or another where he's at, other than to say he does not think that it's wrong for legislators to be here doing this. He says their term runs until January. His term runs until January. And so it's their right to discuss stuff like this.
Well, let's go to the phones now with Art joining us with thoughts in Milwaukee. Art, hi.
Hi. So I'm a little confused about the early voting. I thought in Milwaukee we voted like a month before the election, and the reporting is it's being restricted from only 3 weeks before to only 2 weeks, and also the question of Sunday voting, whether that's now going to be banned by the legislature.
Art, thanks. What do we know about what has been passed about early voting, Sean?
Yeah, you know, I have seen varying dates in terms of when it starts, and this is really opened up by a ruling from federal judge James Peterson, who struck down restrictions, Republican restrictions on early voting. These would restore most of those, so you'd have it a couple weeks before the election would be when early voting was allowed. So, you know, I that is something that I'd like to look into, because I've also seen that it's a 5-day restriction, but, you know, it's been reported also that other places have done this up to 6 weeks in advance of an election.
Let's go to Don now in Wauwatosa. Don, good morning.
Good morning. I think that we, the citizens of Wisconsin, ought to take back our government. And I think that we ought to do that by calling a statewide strike, both public and private citizens walking off the jobs, to show these two-year-old legislators who are with this power grab who really has the power in this state. We really need to have a massive response to this inappropriate and unrepresentative action on the part of this legislature.
Sean, is this reminiscent of 2011?
For some Democrats, it's obviously struck a nerve. I mean, if you heard some of the testimony at the public hearing on Monday, it was pretty intense. It definitely gets under the skin of some Democrats, no doubt about it. And so in that way, it's reminiscent of 2011. But in terms of the scale of that anger, it's not. You didn't have massive protests here as these bills passed. You had some protesters, but they kind of went away through the night as the Senate met privately on this. There were about 1,000 people that showed up at a rally the other night. Mm-hmm. That is not 100,000 people. You didn't have an occupation of the building. I mean, that's the types of things that happened in 2011 are pretty rare in people's lifetimes. So it didn't repeat that, no. But obviously for some Democrats, this, you know, brings up very strong feelings.
Really quickly here, is some of this legislation going to get bogged down in court battles, do you think?
You've heard several Democrats hint at that. You heard former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle hint at it. Democratic Attorney General-elect Josh Call hint at it. Democratic groups hint at it. So, yeah, probably it's going to end up in court. I'm not sure what form that court challenge is going to take, but when you hear a lot of Democrats say that we're going to challenge this, it's a separation of powers issue, it's a violation of a federal court order, just watch the courts in the next week, you know, few weeks or months to see what happens.
We're tracking the impact of this sweeping legislation with an eye on what the governor now will sign. Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, stays with us here on the morning show on the Ideas Network. We'll continue the conversation. News is next. Stay with us. The Senate and Assembly have now adjourned from their lame duck session. We're getting updates all morning with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. But first, an update on our winter membership drive here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. We're in our year-end membership drive here on the Ideas Network, and it's your financial support that is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day throughout the year. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2018 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's about 25 minutes before the hour, and we've got about 20 more pledges to go get in that time if we're going to make our goal before 9 o'clock. And we are going to do that. It's your gift right now that'll make it happen. And your gift right now that is so important to us, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every single day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's been an extraordinary, extraordinary session in the Wisconsin legislature, where the Assembly has just adjourned, the Senate adjourned a little bit ago, and Sean Johnson has been there throughout the night covering that story and bringing us the news, and he's been with us for the past, 40 minutes or so, bringing us the latest details and answering questions as best he can about what happened and why it happened and what it might all mean for the state of Wisconsin. It's an investment that WPR makes in having reporters at the state capitol, and it's all possible because WPR is listener-supported. And what that means is when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible right here at WPR. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and then make your pledge.
And during this holiday season, give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs you love possible, and you can ask for one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to those who are facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So you can do two good things with your gift to WPR at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and it's listener support that it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And I'm here to tell you that giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is easy to do. We don't need too much. We'll need your name, your contact information, how to get a hold of you, the amount of your pledge, and finally, how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your gift to WPR, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your support really does make a difference, and there are plenty of opportunities for you to make a difference in about the next 20 minutes. We've got 20 more pledges to go if we're going to make our goal before 9 o'clock. And so all it takes, one pledge per minute, and we will be there in fine shape. So get on the phone now, make your pledge, and make WPR possible when you give. You can make your pledge online at WPR.org, or you can go ahead and give us a call, 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In about an hour and a half from now, you can hear live NPR coverage of the funeral of former President George Herbert Walker Bush. Ceremony is taking place at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. President Trump, as well as former presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter are among those paying tribute to the 41st president. That's this morning, starting at 10 o'clock. Right here on the Ideas Network. Right now, lawmakers have been wrapping up this extraordinary session at the state capitol. Republicans worked all night long to bring together enough votes to pass this sweeping package of lame duck proposals. They're supposed to give more control to the GOP-controlled legislature and weaken the incoming Democratic Governor Tony Evers, and he replaces Governor Walker in 5 weeks. What are you following in this extraordinary session? What bills do you have questions about? 800-642-1234 is the number. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson stays with us. He's WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, who's been working through the night all day yesterday as the developments have unfolded. So, Sean, lawmakers, as you said, Senate is gone now. Assembly has wrapped up as well. Is that right?
That is correct.
And so what is left there then is basically a package of bills that are now moving to the governor's desk.
Yeah, there were, you know, a couple that did not make it.
Okay.
And, you know, we already talked about the Kimberly-Clark bill. There was also some talk that, Republicans could pass a bill dealing with pre-existing conditions. And this was not identical to the Affordable Care Act by any stretch, but it was their way of passing state protections for pre-existing conditions that passed the assembly. It did not pass the Senate, actually. It did. Senators did not concur in it. Democrats all voted against that, and they were joined by two Republicans. Senator Fitzgerald, the majority leader in the Senate, had said recently that some Republicans in that chamber felt that bill was too much of a mandate, that it too closely replicated Obamacare, whereas Democrats were saying it's not strong enough, it's nowhere near as good as Obamacare. So that one failed. The other stuff is on its way to Governor Scott Walker's desk. So you're talking about the restrictions on early voting. You're talking about the restrictions on Tony Evers, the governor-elect, and Attorney General-elect Josh Call to end Wisconsin's participation in the lawsuit to overturn the Affordable Care Act. You're talking about a bill that would kind of cement a number of the Walker administration's policies when it comes to waivers for things like work requirements for food stamp recipients or for Badger Care recipients. Those are going to Walker's desk. Without that bill, Tony Evers would be able to rescind some of those waivers. With that bill, those changes are locked into law. And then you got 80 plus Walker appointees that were confirmed by the Senate today, some of them for terms that would be longer than Tony Evers' first term. So those are significant changes. Those are people that, you know, share Governor Scott Walker's views in some way, and they're going to be a part of state government in the years going forward.
Well, let's go to the phones now with Tom in Port Wing. Hi, Tom. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. I'll be brief, but first thing I'll say is politics as a blood sport is exactly what we just witnessed. And as far as holding people accountable in making them work to receive benefits is not a bad thing. The Attorney General has been politicized in other states, and we need private attorneys to represent in opposing parties' legislators. And I guess finally, I would say, look at how come no Democrats who campaigned on pre-existing conditions could bring themselves to give the Republicans anything by voting all against the pre-existing conditions. And I'm not buying that they didn't get all the things they wanted. In politics, you never get everything you want. And I'll take any questions from Sean or you on why I feel the way I do about this.
Tom, thank you for the call. Sean, first of all, are we seeing defense of the GOP in conducting this lame duck session?
So in the Senate, you didn't hear a lot from Republicans there. I mean, essentially, the way the process unfolded there was they let Democrats speak and really didn't say much. You did hear afterward, or you read anyway, a statement from Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who said, quote, "Citizens from every corner of Wisconsin deserve a strong legislative branch that stands on equal footing with an incoming administration that is based almost solely in Madison." In the state assembly, after the vote, Speaker Voss said that Republicans didn't get a fair opportunity to tell the public about what the extraordinary session bill did outside of the press. He called the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel an arm of the Democratic Party. So strong words there from the speaker.
And we have a clip of him, by the way. Let's play that.
The situation that we are sitting in right now, if we do not pass these proposals, is that we are going to have a very liberal governor who is going to enact policies that are in direct contrast to what many of us believe in.
So right there, he's kind of saying we need to salvage the work we've done.
And, you know, in some cases, what they did kind of reverse rulemaking power, for example, that they had given Governor Scott Walker over the years. So they see eye to eye with Governor Walker and were willing to give him more power over state agencies when it comes to rulemaking. And they took some of that away from Governor Evers. They took away his ability to rescind these waivers, and they kind of locked some of those things in. But it wasn't just steps along those lines. I mean, blocking the governor, the incoming governor and attorney general, from withdrawing from a lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act, you know, that's obviously new. Blocking the incoming governor from, you know, something like making the state capitol a gun-free zone, that's new. And these are all things that we hadn't heard about until Friday afternoon.
4:30.
And some of them, you know, they were all looped into. If you put all the bills together, it was about a 140-page bill. So there's a lot to digest.
Let's go to Mark joining us from Appleton now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
For 8 years, we've heard that Republicans have insisted that elections have consequences. But, of course, that's only when Republicans win. You know, listen to Robin Voss talk about how they don't like some of what Tony Evers stands for. Well, a lot of us don't stand like what Scott Walker stands for. And I'd like to point out, Mr. Johnson mentioned that there was a very small public outcry. That's because there was so little time. I believe with Act 10, there was a massive demonstrations only because the Senate didn't have a quorum, which gave people time to demonstrate. And I think this is something that touches should touch everybody in the state, not just state workers. And hopefully there will be, I'm looking forward to seeing recall petitions that I can sign, and we can get some of these people who do not believe in democracy out of office.
Sean, your thoughts on what Mark is saying here, that there was just no time to act?
You know, what he's saying there about the way that Democrats fleeing the state kind of gave protest time to build, that is true. But I remember that first weekend after Act 10 was introduced, and you had a similar decree from the governor at the time that we're going to move on this relatively quickly in the next few days. And there were protests building that weekend. And I don't want to kind of rehash and compare this mm-hmm. versus that.
They're
very different bills. One was going at unions in Wisconsin, which had decades of, history. This moved very quickly. We talk about the fast track in the Wisconsin legislature a lot, maybe too much, but this was definitely a fast track bill. It's hard to go much faster than what they did here, introducing it on a Friday afternoon, public hearing Monday, vote Tuesday on into Wednesday morning.
Will Governor Walker sign this legislation?
We don't know. It's just he has kept the door very open to it, I guess you'd say. I mean, he said that it's definitely within Republicans' right to consider this kind of stuff until, you know, their term ends in January. His term ends in January. So that's not somebody telling the legislature to cool it and let's let Tony Evers do his thing. I mean, he's remained open to it from the get-go. He was also open to a bill that did not pass in this this extraordinary session that would have moved Wisconsin's presidential primary from April until back to March. That is something that up until a couple days ago looked like it might happen. Did not have the votes among Republicans, though.
Had a caller earlier this morning noting this distinction that these votes are on the record and that these were not voice votes. Do you see that we will be going back and looking about the vote breakdown in these bills?
They were basically party line votes in the Senate, so there's not a lot to break down on the big bill that would restrict the powers of Evers and Call. You had one Republican, Senator Robert Coles, joining Democrats to vote against it. So, those records are out there and they're not hard to digest. The question, whenever it comes to something like this, is this what we'll be talking about in an election a couple years from now? Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna predict that, but a couple years is a long time in politics.
You'll need to sleep on that first. Yeah. Is that right, John?
That sounds like a good idea.
Are you gonna get any sleep today? That is the question that we have to land on here.
Well, the legislature is definitely gone here, so there are opportunities.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for your work and for keeping us up to date. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, and we've been hearing from him all morning long about the results of this lame duck session. We'll continue to follow what happens to this package of bills right here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. In about an hour from now, we'll be bringing you live NPR coverage of the funeral for former President George Herbert Walker Bush, that ceremony taking place at the National Cathedral in Washington. That's coming up live this morning starting at 10 o'clock right here on the Ideas Network. But first, it is our winter membership drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Your support is vital to all the programs on WPR. It is the largest source of funding, and that's why we're here to ask you for your gift right now. now, as 2018 comes to an end and we look forward to starting 2019 strong, make the programs you rely on possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 16 more pledges in about the next 6 or 7 minutes or so to make our hourly goal before 9 o'clock. And we set these goals up for a reason. They're there to make sure that we've got the funding we need here at WPR to provide for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's been a busy morning. It's been a minute here on the morning show.
It's been a couple of minutes.
Yeah, been a couple of minutes. We have been getting up to the minute coverage of the lame duck session where the Senate and Assembly have now adjourned. Bills moving now to Governor Walker's desk. We'll continue to watch what happens to this legislation. I know you've been wanting to know about these bills, and we have been keeping on track with those and making sure we understand them with our Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson at the helm. WPR is listener supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and you make many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your pledge.
And when you make your pledge, the great thing about it is that it's voluntary, first of all, and that means that you get to decide how much to give. How much is it worth to you? How much can you afford to give? What will your budget support? You'd be surprised how many people consider a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
That might be what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
December is a special time of year. We ask some people, what are your year-end traditions?
Our family generally gets together at my mom and dad's house, and we just spend time with each other.
Going for a walk in the first snowfall of the year.
Getting out my Hawaiian Aloha Advent calendar, which has a giant Santa Claus in an Aloha shirt and flip-flops.
Make giving to Wisconsin Public Radio one of your year-end traditions. In return, you'll get programs that make you think, laugh, and start conversations all year long. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and we're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio in all the programs that you enjoy on the air. So whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we absolutely appreciate and we count on your gift.
That's right, we sure do. And in fact, we are getting closer to our goal now. Just 14 more pledges to go in about the next 2 or 3 minutes or so. And again, we set up these hourly goals so that we can make sure that we hit them. And thank you, by the way, for being a WPR listener. Don't forget, it's listener support. It's your support that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
Because WPR is your radio home, support it now. Make the news, the discussions, the music possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are asking you to make a contribution to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're also asking you to give an amount that is comfortable for you, and that's going to vary depending on a whole bunch of factors. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100 a month or more.
Zach from Madison says, while living on the East Coast for grad school, I would listen to WPR every morning in order to stay connected with what was happening in my state of Wisconsin. It made me feel like I was at home. Well, Zach, thank you so much for sharing that. Thanks for being on the same page with us and for all of your support. Make that pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.